Where's Chris? I know. He didn't come.
Well, he said he was going to be
a little
late.
Yeah, Chris couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Playing the part of Chris Remo?
Sorry.
He's at the Retronauts panel. Well, we're missing the host of the show. This isn't a choreographed shtick. Hey, guys.
But why, some say, why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
It's September 5th, 2010, and Richard Garriott is in the building.
And this is Idle Thumbs 51, and I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, it's video games.
Yeah.
We actually don't have a starting topic, so yeah, this is terrible.
Thanks for coming to watch us talk about video games for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Brecken's back. Check this out.
Hey!
How's your Bethesda's?
It's pretty good.
Yeah? Sweet.
Yeah.
We played Torchlight 2 yesterday.
We did.
Yeah. I didn't.
No, you're stupid.
No, you were.
Jake doesn't care about a game.
Some video, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was good. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's nice, like, it's funny because we were talking, there are about 500 million now of these games coming out.
Yeah,
like,
weirdly enough.
I guess Torchlight Souls sells 500,000 units, and it's like, oh, I guess we can make Diablo again and again. And, like, everyone else is saying that, too, now. Like, there's Darkspore, there's Torchlight.
I like how that's your Torchlight first
2.
Example.
Yeah.
Darkspore.
There's
Darkspore.
The shining, you know, exemplar, Darkspore. And then then there's Torchlight 2.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, have you seen the crazy, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's, like, a New Zealand one
No.
that looks like Diablo 2. There's, like, people in New Zealand are making a game that actually looks like Diablo 2. Like,
that's
looks,
awesome.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
Is it sprites? Sprites?
I think it is. I think they do the same thing where they rendered the 3D models and they just have them as sprites.
Nice.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And
but, uh-oh.
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sitting arrangement was a complete failure. So yeah, yeah. Be over here. Hey.
I have to see your face.
Yeah, I know. I keep having to look over.
It's all okay now.
A majority of the jokes on Idle Thumbs are derived from just, like, looking over at Jake, and he's, like, making, like,
this is
some
terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, Torchlight's good.
It's cool, though. Like,
yeah.
There's something nice about being able to sit down and play Torchlight 2, and it reminds me, actually, when I was playing that game, like, it's a real shame, actually, because the best part for me, like, the part of playing that Diablo-style game is most awesome and affecting when you're starting off and you don't know what the world is, and you don't know, like, how to run through the fucking 75 dungeons in the exact way that you just power level through them.
Right.
And you don't know, like, really what all the systems are. I mean, it's a sequel, so you know how it works. But being in there and being that level one character and getting, like, that first level up and then having the skills to allocate and being like, oh, man.
Now
I
what?
I haven't used any of this shit. Like, this is all going to be new to me when
right.
I try it. It's really exciting. And, like, the Torchlight guys are so good at tuning the feel of that. You know, like, there's something about just clicking around, like, I got this little tornado blade thing, and just clicking on that and have that, like, go through all the enemies.
Yeah.
There's something, for some reason, like, that's not easy to do right. No, but I mean, do you agree? Like,
I do agree. No.
Like, a lot of,
that's bullshit.
You know, fuck you. But, like, a lot of games in that genre just don't hit that.
Yeah.
And those guys do. And
I was
cool.
being like, stupid, though. I was clicking like a madman.
Yeah, Nick was sitting there, like,
I forgot how to play Diablo momentarily.
Like, yeah,
you don't just click?
You just hold it down. You click on a
that's
guy.
That's the joke, but you don't actually do that.
I don't know the joke.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. If you actually,
my favorite thing.
If you actually play a video game, then yeah. You know.
I would know to just hold it down.
Yeah. What are you doing? You're using the internet?
I'm using a stopwatch.
Oh. Sweet.
Because we're talking about this game a lot. Nothing to say about it.
My favorite thing about this game, I like that you can have a cat and a dog and a
and
ferret.
And a ferret. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I like how there was like the year of the dog and now.
Yeah,
we're branching out. We're just like, like, what are we going to do?
Oh,
fuck, we better go to ferrets.
Time? Hopefully, it's the year of the ferret.
Yeah.
Fable 3, ferret confirmed.
Wasn't the ferret in the first one?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, the ferret, you could get the ferret if you bought, like, the box edition of Torchlight. Which is,
so
which
they
is cool,
it.
I guess.
I thought you were saying there was a ferret in the first Fable. Oh.
Also that.
Also, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beaten to the punch again by Molyneux.
Yeah. Molly's always one step ahead of the game.
Yeah.
That fucking guy. I don't know. That's Torchlight. Also, Duke Nukem Forever exists.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really even know what to say about it.
Yeah, what do you say?
We should talk about that a little later because there are additional people.
Oh, yeah, there's other.
Oh, yeah, right.
Spoilers.
Yeah. So how, I mean, I don't know, like, how much you want to talk about, but, I mean, how's it been at Bethesda for, like, I mean,
it's been
you,
really
haven't
good.
Been, you haven't really been on Idle Thumbs since you started there.
I was.
You were?
There was that one day where I flew back.
Oh, right, to talk about Quap.
You flew back and dropped off a flash card with a WAV file of yourself and then left again. So that was garbage.
Yeah. No, it's good times. Yeah, it's a good company.
You're not going to actually get Nick to say anything.
Yeah, right.
It's a game company.
Well, how's your new gig, Remo?
I've only been there a week.
Well, why don't you have an opinion?
It's bullshit. Ken Levine, that guy's a total poser. Who'd have thought? Bioshock? Yeah.
Well, should we say that for later? I really want to talk about Bioshock.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about Bioshock.
Because we saw the gameplay footage yesterday.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really impressive stuff. Who was it? Like, J.P. LeBreton was talking about Mad Men and how, like, it
on
always
Twitter
makes.
Or something, probably?
Huh? Yeah, just how it makes him want to read books.
Right.
And that Bioshock is like that for me. Like,
it just gets you excited about
it. It just gets you excited
things.
About, like,
Yeah. No, I know that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that I have to, like,
I read
reinforce
a book
in myself.
Of Bioshock 3 trailer.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can talk about that later, probably.
We'll talk about everything later.
Yeah.
when you guys are gone,
next PAX, we'll talk about all these topics. We're going to just, like, we're going to write them down. And
oh, should
then,
I be over
this
here?
Is just the pitch session. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you?
Yeah, you're probably really quiet because your thing is far away.
No one wants to hear what I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, Jake's sympathy.
Well, I didn't see the Bioshock Infinite footage either, so.
Oh, yeah.
look how fleazy he is for not knowing about a video game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good stuff, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a book recently called, I think it's like The Imperial Cruise or something.
Is it fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction, about Teddy Roosevelt's
like
journey to Asia in 1905.
Yeah.
And, yes, I did. I read that. In case you were wondering.
Is that your fucking comment?
Pretty much.
That's your takeaway?
No, I was just going to say, it was just awesome just seeing that. Well, yeah. Fine.
What did Teddy punch a tiger?
I don't want to describe the gameplay footage, but the first shot of that gameplay footage is amazing. No, of the of the book. The first shot of the book.
I don't know. You read a book. What was interesting about it?
Well, no, I was going to relate it to the game.
This is Idle Thumbs. We talk about books.
You can.
the first shot of that game is of the I've already beaten
is
the
you
game.
Reading that
but,
book.
But yeah.
This is why Nick left the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because of what's happening right now. You have no idea.
Anyway.
No, let's hear it.
So the first shot is just this amazing, amazing image. It's like McKinley-esque where you've got like Uncle Sam up and just all these crazy racial themes going on. And
Of the trailer.
Of the trailer.
Talking about the book.
No, I'm talking about the gameplay. I was going to say the book, you know,
the book
talks about
the
same.
Of just
Well, I mean, it's just describing how that. I mean, it's you know, it's written about 1905, which is what you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, I really love that there is a thing that I can go, oh, I read about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, anyway. It's cool. I mean,
you
it says
cultured.
I, like,
yeah.
Watching your video games.
No, I mean, I probably mentioned it on a prior cast, but I really like when people make games that have some level of accountability. Like when there's something that, I mean, obviously most games, including Bioshock Infinite, obviously, and like the majority of games are invented things almost entirely, but it's nice when there's like some level of accountability that you can like graft onto and be like, this is a thing that you that might actually spur you to look at something else or read something else or learn about something.
Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno, clearly.
That is a textbook example.
Yeah.
Although that makes you just want to, I don't know, that actually makes you want to look at nothing ever again. I was going to say that for some reason it makes you want to look at, like, a nipple that's barfing a baby, but that's what's already there, so you've already seen that.
So you're done? You're just, yeah.
Unrelated to that, we just had an informal Idle Thumbs bar gathering the first night of the show, and I got to show, like, a 22-year-old guy who worked at Telltale Goatsy for the first time.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
He asked to see it.
Go see it.
The Wikipedia article points out that it's taken down, but then at the bottom it helpfully links to the Web Archive Mirror, which is a full site.
Goatsy.org, yeah.
Goatsy.org?
The Goatsy Foundation.
Dot Muse.
They've got it.
Goatsy.museum.
.co. Yeah. No, that was amazing.
Goatsy.biz.
Goatsy on an iPhone is not...
Yeah, we already talked about that. Oh, I was looking at Nick.
What about Goatsy.museum?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Hey.
Did you ever think of what if it was a museum, though?
Yeah.
Maybe we should stop this.
We should take a break.
We should take... Yes.
Let's take a break.
We should adjust this to not make the microphone hit your shirt, because we heard your shirt a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll just edit this out.
I don't know how to do that.
I just want... this part isn't in the podcast.
Yeah.
They'll help you with your shirt.
Okay, I'm going to go get some help with my shirt.
Oh, now, what do we talk about, Jake? This is like the part in Wayne's World.
We've even said that on the podcast before. Chris goes over there to adjust his shirt.
Yeah.
And then we just sort of, even when there's not an audience, we just sort of... So you playing StarCraft 2? you checking that out?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I heard it's like StarCraft.
Kind of. You, there's like a Marine. That had water in it, and I didn't realize it still had water in it. I'm really sorry, Jake. I just totally got Jake all wet.
No, this is such a piece of garbage that we're making right now. This is bullshit.
I'm really sorry.
Now it's time for a break.
Now Jake hates me. He's going to punch me now.
I love you.
Okay. That was a nice break.
In 2125, I was on a mining colony on Mars. Just a quiet backwater facility among the stars. But then one day I was minding my own business. I was mining my own ore. And there he was. Space astronaut.
But yeah.
In a truck flying off a ridge. Space asshole, smashing through a bridge. And as he landed, out came his hammer, smashed my boss right in the face. Space asshole, planting charges left and right. Space asshole, all he does is annihilate and fight. I didn't sign up for this, I just wanted to get away. Somewhere remote. Just a place where I could earn myself a day's pay without being smoked. But every time I think it's safe, every time I think it's calm, I'm wrong. Space asshole, hammer swinging, buildings falling down. Space asshole, laying waste to this entire town. Now all the rest are dead. Space asshole has prevailed. Only I am left alive to tell the tale of space asshole. comes out of nowhere to destroy space asshole. Wants and carnage is all he can enjoy. Space asshole. Space asshole. Space asshole. He's the space asshole.
We deliberately put Chris in the darkest corner of the room for this. Oh yeah. We now have special guests. We have. We can mix it up. I'll go back to my home over there at the end.
What?
No, I hate it over here. Oh no, what?
I love you. I'm so sorry.
What's happening?
Oh, I'm gonna hang out with you.
Hi.
We're joined by Steve Hot Scoops Gaynor and Famous Bannerman. Yeah, Chris is not Hot Scoops.
This is Idle Thumbs, not the Idle Thumbs podcast.
This is retroactively. Steve is retroactively Hot Scoops.
We don't have a thing over here.
It's cool.
Ha, now we do.
Oh, shit.
Hey.
Sorry, hi, they were more clever than we were. With
sup, dudes?
Hey. Oh, you're down there. Hello.
Hey, Steve. Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Well, we sit like this at your apartment, in one line, just all looking at the wall.
This is really scary.
Look out Chris's window at the San Francisco skyline and are inspired.
Yeah, that's an interesting change.
Yeah, yeah.
Of all the things to change about Idle Thumbs, too.
Oh, that we look at the wall now?
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't do that when you
I
were
didn't,
there?
No.
Oh, Chris was like, you look at the wall. So I said, oh, thank you for letting me be on a podcast.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Also, these guys met each other yesterday.
Yeah, yes. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I feel like I've known you for so much longer than that.
I know.
You're really great.
Well, through the magic of the Idle Thumbs podcast.
Why don't you discuss your impressions of each other?
Well, I like Nick because he gets super excited about everything, including his job, and I ask him how it's going.
Right. That's okay. That's good. Sweet.
I like everything about Sean.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, man.
We can hug it out later.
Okay.
It's like what games? God, I'm so uncomfortable now.
What games?
I can think of one game that I want to talk about.
God. What? Oh, which one?
We're pulling out. I think I want to talk about.
What?
Huh? I want to talk about Steve's experience with Duke Nukem.
Okay. I can officially declare that I pissed out of a Duke dick.
Sweet.
Did anyone else here piss out of Duke Nukem's dick today? Oh, we got one hand.
That's like seven people. Maybe?
Hey,
God, Duke's dick is getting a lot of action.
Was
that
or was the line just too long to experience this?
It's a long line.
That's a separate line.
Man, I can't even hear you guys all the way down there. This is a weird
I'm sorry.
We're talking about Duke Nukem's penis.
Apparently, a lot of people have been interacting with it today. So just a normal day for Duke, right?
For those of you who didn't wait in line for Duke Nukem Forever, which includes me, I actually missed. I scheduled an appointment just so I could see this after Steve told me. But there's a part where you press the right trigger and then pee comes out of him in first person.
Yeah, the part
you have to watch.
That's the
this.
First part. That's like but the first interaction in the game is urination.
It's scripted though. You can't even move around.
Well, you can.
Yeah, but you can.
That's what I mean. You can move your head around, but the stream. Yeah. It's just a cylinder.
You can look around, but there's no fluid dynamics. Yeah.
But you can let go and do it again. Like you can start and stop and go in little spurts.
That's really hard to do.
The intensity is bound to the trigger?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Does the controller vibrate when you stop? I just feel like it's so it's so hard to stop. Once you're going, I mean.
Now you're still talking about it.
What? I'm asking a force feedback question.
The answer to all of your questions is yes. Every question is going to be yes.
And the answer is you did try to look down as far as you could.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All you can see is the very end of the stream. I was disappointed. But
I hate it when that's.
What can you do?
So that's all I wanted to talk about.
Duke Nukem Forever. Complete. Discussion over.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
We also played a pretty sweet game.
Yeah, we played a pretty sweet game.
Are you referring to the Far Cry 2 of PAX?
Yeah,
this is
we have like a far yeah. We
I spoiled
new,
it.
A new podcast game here.
Uh-oh.
For the last one, I guess. But
we're gonna talk about it on every future episode of this
podcast. Yeah.
We stopped by the board game checkout room last night to because you guys were...
We were playing Zombie Dice.
Zombie Dice?
Yeah, and it was super fun. Like, Zombie Dice is a cool, fun game. Yeah. And I was standing in line to return Zombie Dice.
and I look over, and actually, if you hand me the thing, oh, and I see
we
this.
Checked it out again.
And I, I mean, this is great.
We're monopolizing this game for the entire. They only have one. Well,
yeah,
copy,
they only have one copy. I look over and I see this gentleman, and I don't know if you can see it, but it's like a weird Hitler,
like
Saddam Hussein, Mussolini hybrid.
But like
wearing
also,
a smock.
Also, he's an exquisite Frenchman. It's an apron.
He is kind of French, and it says "In vino veritas," and the game is Weinhandler.
Weinhandler.
It's wine cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R, cellars. Wine cellar,
wine
cellars.
Cellar, cellars.
So I look at Jake. I'm like, "How the fuck did we not play this instead?" Yeah. I mean, no, you know, beef to zombie dice is a great game, but Jesus, why did we not just immediately
why did we not
gravitate
play Weinhandler?
Weinhandler.
Yeah.
No.
And we did.
So
play
we did.
For like 2 days.
Yeah. And the rule book is the most just inscrutable, just. I mean, it's only like, I want to call it a tome. It's only 8 pages, but
well,
I mean,
it's in German.
It feels like a tome. It's in four,
that's
like size four font.
Yeah, and
it's very enthusiastic.
Run on sentence.
It starts, okay, so the only thing you do in this game is bid on wine and then put wine on the table.
You have to like, aesthetically stack your wine collection by shape and color
right.
to make it worth more euros.
But the euro points.
Euro points.
Euro points. They're not euros or points, they're fucking euro points. But also, so really all you do in this game
you
is you trade from this wine market, and then you arrange your wine. That there's like two things you do in this game. And the first instruction is like, the game includes four phases. And that's like how they start.
And then it describes the phases over 3 pages. And literally,
yeah.
We sat Nick down today and taught him to play the game
oh my
in
God.
Like 47
seconds. You spend money on wine, and then you arrange your wine to look good.
Yeah.
It's actually really a good game, though.
It's really good.
Because
it's so simple. The whole thing is just like the market of trading this wine around, but it's actually, because it's so simple, you can really do it quite quickly. And it's one of those games where there are end up being little bits of strategy that unveil themselves as you go, because even if you bid on wine with wine, like it's trading. So
so
if you want the wine on the table, you place your bid in the form of more wine.
Wine is worth euro points, but euro points are not a tangible currency in Weinhandler. Get it straight. long story short. We will be hosting, if all of you guys want to hang out outside, it can only have up to 5 teams, but I think we can do 25 versus 25 versus 25 versus 25 of Weinhandler.
It'll be like the stock exchange floor.
Yeah, we'll just scream, around, waving wine.
I've got Zinfandel, Zinfandel! It'll be so good.
Yeah, you trade Merlot and Zinfandel and like what else is in here? I don't remember.
Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Like
this is really intriguing.
This
shit
is,
here.
This is like the douchiest game ever. Like
we put on the 2020 voices.
We were playing a one on like a Weinhandler a Weinhandler version where it was
which is not sponsored.
It's not supported
it's
in the game.
Yeah,
like,
but we figured it out.
Yeah. But Sean and I were just playing one-on-one, and it's a way different dynamic. It's intense when you're just two Weinhandlers. Like,
it is, yeah.
I was stacking my bottles like crazy. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. But then as we were playing, I became very self-conscious of being a Weinhandler playing Weinhandler when I, you know.
He also refers to his wine as his Weinhandler, which doesn't make any sense.
No, no, no.
The cards.
Like,
that's a hell of a Weinhandler Weinhandler.
No. It's not just my wine. It's the arrangement of my wine.
Your cellar.
Is my Weinhandel, and I'm the
Weinhandler. Okay, sorry.
Please.
A thousand pardons.
It's such a simple game.
And so,
to understand.
Well, pretty much every like object or noun or you know anything in this game, we just call it a Weinhandel. And like every verb is basically to Weinhandel.
Well, and then when I defeated you, you were like, Weinhandel.
Weinhandel. Velo Weinhandler.
Yeah.
But no, but the moment when I became very self-conscious about playing Weinhandler was when we were going back and forth.
It's when those intense. Guys came by and threw slurs at us.
And I was going through my hand, and you know, there's the pool in the middle that you bid on, and we were just in a back-and-forth bidding war, and this girl was, like, walking by. She was trying to find something, and she walks by the table, and, like, just right at that moment as she takes a second to like look at what we're doing and trying to figure out what this is, I'm just like, God, I really fucking need that Merlot. And she just like kind of shakes her head and moves away. And so that was pretty great. But it's a fun game.
It's a really fun game. And the thing actually, the point to bring it back to just games in general that I wanted to make about this is we talked about this last night.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it was late and we had a lot of wine to drink.
Yeah,
so this might not be interesting.
We actually did go through 2 bottles of wine.
When you see something that is so goddamn ridiculous, like in, we will pass this
just
around.
In life. In
like,
any,
in anything.
This is not just games.
This is not games.
This is
be
how
food.
You should live your life, generally
like,
speaking.
There are two options with this game.
Yeah.
Because it exists. It got to us. It somehow was made in a
There was like a pair of German people who said, let's make a game
called Weinhandel.
And you know, we're going to make a game about wine cellar sellers, and we're going to put that on the box. And then, and you know, we're going to commission an artist to create this man. All these decisions are made. We're going to make an entire game about a thing that no one in the world has any frame of reference for. There's like eight guys probably who fucking know what this
means. Eight Weinhandlers?
Like, yeah. The last Weinhandler. There's like a painting of him in a wine cellar somewhere.
But like, it has to get made and packaged
and then
and
it has to be localized.
And localized.
Published
in
the United States.
Poorly.
For whatever tiny market is going to buy this. Like, this game had to go through so many possible failure points to arrive at the room.
Still going through.
Yeah. in that, and there's one copy in that little checkout room of the thing. And it's,
The thing is, to get here, it's two things.
Yeah.
It's either fucking incredible, and it is really, really, really
fun. It's really good.
Or it's just atrocious and totally worth playing for the story.
Exactly.
So you just have to do it. So
that,
whether
that's
it's
how
you know,
work. And, you
like
know,
video
I mean,
game
that's
or
like
this or
the philosophy of Idle Thumbs, basically. Like,
is that the philosophy of Idle Thumbs?
I mean, that's why I think
it is.
I mean,
that's what you guys told me when you wanted me to come on. You're like, this is going to be really good. It's going
to
be a fucking train wreck.
Steps.
And you're going to be glad that you were in it, even though you're burning alive on the side of the tracks.
No, but I mean,
while people watch,
how many games
while
like,
they read?
Fucking Quap. How much discussion did Nick and I get on?
Are we starting
right?
this?
You,
like, actually won
on
the
like,
last episode that he was on.
Yeah,
that was it was like 10 minutes. Total.
Oh yeah, that was the first time we. Yeah, Nick and I.
So
had
you
many,
didn't really get that much
continuation.
Last, okay,
sorry,
it was not recorded, but Nick and I have had hours of discussion about.
Take
Quap.
Our word
it
for it.
It was really
we
hilarious.
About this a lot.
And but the point is like. You start that game, and it's, like, such a bizarre thing. It's, like, how could this possibly... It doesn't make any sense at all. And I assume
right
most of the
thigh.
People, and me, the first time I played it, you know...
Left calf.
Yeah. Right thigh.
Yes.
You know, the first time you try it, and it's nonsense, and then the guy fucking collapses, and you're like, what is this garbage?
Or every time, if you're me playing it.
But it's, like, no, but the fact that it's, like, all right, there's something hilarious and weird and interesting about this... And if we can, like, push through that initial just obfuscation of everything.
Yeah.
I did not like that. We can just get in there deep. Yeah. Just figure out where it really just.
But, like,
really nice.
You know.
Sean played a different Quap than
It was still physics-based, though.
Yeah.
It was a dense simulation. But, you know, you get through that. And, like, honestly, I feel like we uncovered some genuine... Interesting.
Yeah, you extracted something.
I mean, it's
something really warm.
It's idiotic and stupid, but
God.
Also, I mean,
we gave birth to it, really.
No,
the thing about something like Quap, I think, is that like there's that point for pretty much every game.
Yeah.
Like the guys in QA or something will just like eradicate your game. That you know they'll speed run your 12-hour game in like 45 minutes or whatever, and it's like. That's true of pretty much anything you make, but with Quap, you have to be that good to succeed ever.
Exactly.
Which I think is why it makes it see, like, you start it and you're like, oh, I can see. If I can be, you know, better than humanly possible at this, I might not fail. And you can see the light at the end of the tunnel from really far away.
Right. Yeah. The light at the end of the tunnel is perfection, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. That's
littered with
option,
corpses all the way down the tunnel.
Yeah. But the first time you actually get your guy to take two steps in a row, like legitimate strides...
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Like that was.
I think it was one of the best feelings I've ever had playing a game.
Absolutely.
I'm not even kidding.
That was very sincere.
You cried.
Yeah.
The countdown to tears ended.
Yeah.
It did
in that hotel room. Yeah. Man,
Quap.
Quap.
But that's a
game. And Weinhandel.
But Weinhandel. Yeah.
Somewhere near the end of
Weinhandel,
a grenade goes down a hill.
Trying to figure out how to play Weinhandel was almost like that because the instructions are so terrible.
We were also just in the worst situation. There was. What, we had
many
four teams of two, so we had eight people around a bar, and we were all drinking, and it was 1 a.m.
Yeah.
But we still had fun. Like, we figured it out,
blast,
and then so much that we came back and got it the next day.
Which had nothing to do with being sleep-deprived or drunk.
That's true. Well, based on the way those instructions are written, you should... I'll make a copy. You should read them.
We'll distribute the Weinhandler instructions.
Yeah. But, like, that's the same reason we kind of went after Weinhandler, and, I mean, it's the same reason, like, Deadly Premonition kind of came into the fold when... Like,
well, Deadly Premonition came into the fold because you just started playing that when you didn't want to play the game we were playing.
Kind of. Yeah.
For 2 hours.
But, like, there was a gem in
there.
And then
you won.
Like, because we were playing Imperial 2030, and you're driving around in, like, an SUV in that town, and all of a sudden he just starts talking about Robert Zemeckis and movies inside of a video game, and that whistle is playing.
Yeah. You guys were trying to play a very serious board game, and then just in the background you hear a weird guy talking about Back to the Future, and you're all like...
what?
And it's Deadly Premonition, guys.
And then his license plate said Sheriff Video Games.
Yeah. Yes, it did. It said Vidgums.
Vidgums. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked about the card and tile-based Vinehandler and the corporate global conquest board game Civilization 2030...
Imperial 2030.
Civilization 5. Imperial 2030. I don't...
What are you saying, Jake?
We could talk about it. We could talk about a video game, maybe.
Oh.
Oh, just, I mean,
oh, video
game. We don't have to.
Is there a song coming up, or we got anything
no,
else?
No, no, no.
Can you just be a troubadour for a minute?
Yeah, we're spoiled on this one, because whenever anything becomes remotely awkward, we can just... try to make Chris play a song,
dance
and then
he
actually
Chris.
Feels obligated. Dance!
Well, actually, we're also spoiled on this one, since at this point we could be like, let's cut this part out.
Yeah. We would also just say, let's take a break, and then we would go talk about whatever, you know, you'd catch us in the background talking about Skipper Croft or whatever.
Yeah, and then it fades into us talking about a cyborg arm on Skipper Croft. You don't know about the horrible
know,
shit
being accountable to people in a space is terrible.
Yeah,
hi, guys.
Yo, what's up?
I ruined everything by saying we should talk about games.
I know, yeah, what was that? Did you play a game, Jake? Aside from a Vinehandler?
Vinehandler.
Spaff showed us Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, yeah. We saw Little Big Planet 2 as demoed by...
Say hi, Spaff. Raise your hand.
It's a Spaff
UK Thumb.
Thumbs UK right
one
here.
Of the guys who
He's
created Idle Thumbs before it was a podcast.
Woo!
Stand up, Spaff.
Stand up, Spaff.
Who is now at Media Molecule and demoed for Sean and I Little Big Planet 2, which looks... super awesome. We're only going to talk about games that are either obscure German board games or games that we are in some way affiliated with.
Yeah.
Except for Duke Nukem's dick.
I'm affiliated with it.
I mean, actually, I guess you.
If
and
you
Chris
know what I mean.
Both,
yeah.
The idea
so what's up with Little Big Planet 2?
I also there's also a whole music sequencer in Little Big Planet 2, and
whoa,
I sat
really?
Down and
oh, nice.
Like Spaff showed me how to use it, and I sat down and made a bunch of music.
You made music?
Cool. Yeah,
it's you
it's
made
really
good music actually. It sounded like because I heard that I was like, oh, Chris made this. Like it sounded like something you would
how
make.
How did you
Because
it sounded good.
Because you played it for me on your phone.
That wasn't. I didn't. It wasn't my phone.
Is it your phone, Spaff?
Oh, it was Spaff's buddy, I guess.
It was somebody.
We
then.
Don't. We can't. You
cool.
can't hear it.
Or I made it up.
Oh. Little Big Planet 2 is a crazy game. I mean, we had stuff to talk about with that, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you again,
like we were
that.
Talking about it the other day. Like I feel like that game is going to, like, in 15 years, we're going to look back and be like, oh, that was super important for
yeah.
what... it's. I mean, what you guys have been able to do... Because I know you programmed it all yourself, Spaff. but, like, it's essentially just, like, those microchips become, like, object-based programming tools where, like, you yeah. have people learning to... make full games, and like we've said that about Little Big Planet 1, but we're talking
it's
like
way more.
Well, this we
Big
watched Media Molecule brought some dudes who just sort of like there's don't point to one of them. they brought a bunch Whoa. Of guys who I guess sort of modded awful. The crap out of the first one to just sit at the booth and show everyone that they know nothing about Little Big Planet. So we walk past this guy and he's like, "Oh, I'm building a plotter printer," and then the next guy is like, "I've made Marble Madness using the six-axis controls." Like, what? What in the world is this?
It's
oh, and
amazing.
The plotter printer just said the word "mark," which was nice. It printed light. I was impressed. I guess no one else
no
gives a shit.
I'm
but
impressed.
Like, I think it's like you kind of get to the point where maybe you expect that from Little Big Planet because of what people did with the first one, but like the way they've expanded the tool is just unbelievable.
Yeah, but these, and these people were
like, what did you
scrap
you could
together
make a
on the show floor?
What was that?
They were making this stuff just on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, they basically went from having like hinges and stuff to having a full on like visual
to having
scripting
a,
language.
A robot.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can basically just
what?
Do Kismet for Unreal 3, like, but
yeah,
it's.
But in a video game.
Yeah.
In, a,
you bought
in
it.
An actual shipping game, yeah.
Well, and it's just you. Press a button to a man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly.
Yeah, that's,
oh,
that's Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, sorry. Oh, boy.
Press a button with
you press
a, man.
A button to a man.
A
oh, but oh, remember that whole like Avatar thing that they have now? You can make a like digital sack boy. And,
yeah, there's
oh,
the, I don't know.
Mind.
Should, yeah,
you can,
for
you can
sure.
press a button to him.
Well, no, there's these things where you can set your sack boy down in
it's
a
like a Tamagotchi.
Stick. It's hard to explain.
No, it's not like a Tamagotchi. Basically you can create a new version of yourself as like a robot sack boy or like a sack bot or whatever the hell those are called, and then give him new properties. So if you like you were trying to get through a wall, you can just jump into a little thing, make yourself super big.
Well,
and he can
well you can you can control a gigantic sack boy
yeah.
using your sack boy. Sack boy.
It sounds weird. Just go look, we will stop rambling about it, but it's worth checking out. It's very, very cool.
It's really
it's
cool.
It's gonna be, I think, important long term.
Yeah.
End.
quote Chris. Sean Vanden.
This is gonna be important. Go look at it.
Box quote.
You'll ask your kids will ask you where you were when Little Big Planet 2 came out.
That's box quote from Sean Famous Vanden, and then you press a button to a man is the it just goes under the title.
Well, yeah, that's
you guys can have that one.
Yeah, Little Big Planet 2, you press a button to a man. This is important. Oh, good.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the plan was.
Hey, I got a question.
Oh, yeah.
You guys did you guys talk about this already? You talked about a book, but you didn't actually talk about seeing BioShock Infinite, right? Oh. I didn't actually watch the video. I haven't seen the gameplay. I wanted to, but I guess I'll have to see it on the internet. But I've read it described. What was cool about it, Nick? Because Chris is too close to it.
You can't say anything, Chris. But you can say good to neutral things about it.
Oh, yeah. That game, I would say that game is like neutral to good.
Oh. So you're going with like 7.8.
I would skew towards the good side.
Okay.
7.8. That's nice of you, Steve.
What? That's neutral to good.
Man, box quotes.
Yeah, what's up?
I mean, I was trying to describe this badly earlier, but the first shot of it is just amazing. I mean, it's like this crazy McKinley-esque. I mean, it's basically
this.
Like, did I say that?
Yeah. Describe it more fully.
Okay, so there's like, it's just the themes that are
reconstructed in my mind's eye.
Steve.
What?
Sorry. No. No, it's just, it's really interesting. It's also kind of interesting to see just a BioShock game in broad daylight. And I mean, there's one part in the footage where a guy just like busts into a bar and there are lots of dudes in the bar and they're all like alive. And it was like,
this is new for BioShock.
This is new for BioShock, yeah.
Oh, but they're alive, but they don't have like a hook welded to their
arm. Right,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, Chris was kind of like, well, this game might, you know, be somewhat pushing the... you didn't say that.
Well, he said it might be neutral to good.
But yeah, yeah.
And you were like, no, that looks way better than neutral to good, Chris. Come on, don't be so down on yourself.
No, but it's
right? Sorry, was that accurate?
It will be better than good.
Okay, good.
Confirmed.
That's why you're hot scoops now.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
What was the coolest thing in it?
The coolest thing, I mean, honestly, the first shot was just amazing. The billboards, just seeing the propaganda, the American
thing in the game
American,
was that one texture.
Yeah, yeah, no, all this crazy imperialist America propaganda all over the place. It was just really interesting. And just that whole vibe.
Yeah. It seems to me, but you've seen more of it than I have, but it seems to really be kind of political commentary on current stuff like Tea Party stuff, and there's all this kind of like xenophobia.
Is that what it's about?
Well, I mean, all of the propaganda is like, you know, all like anti-immigration to Colombia and stuff. It seems. I don't know. It seems to be very much drawing a parallel intentionally.
I mean, I did feel that like come if out the United States was in the sky? Like,
we wouldn't want
illegal immigrants would have a really hard time.
Stop climbing up those chains.
Yeah.
Get off
Mexico jetpack technology just goes through the roof.
Yeah.
You'd still see the news articles about people floating over from Cuba, but they would do it in like the chitty chitty bang bang car.
What?
Somebody would shock the water, and they would So they're but shocking water.
They're shocking. Well, there is a shock in the BioShock. So that must be the connection.
Expectations
so
fulfilled.
Shock guaranteed.
Yeah, but no, I mean, they also showed the amazing like Game Informer cover art.
Yeah.
I saw that.
It looks
like,
which
is
really interesting. I mean, it's
really interesting?
Well, no,
it is.
It is. It was. I mean, they did the whole, you know, sort of faux 1905, I think it was 1911.
Saturday Evening Post,
yeah.
Like, they actually used the entire, font treatment of the Saturday Evening Post circa 1910. So the Game Informer cover doesn't even have the Game Informer logo on it. It says Game Informer magazine in uber old-timey font. It's actually really... I had never seen these until yesterday. So
next month, go and trade in your used games to get this magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Don't you want them to do that? You work there.
Maybe they trade in BioShock.
At GameStop?
Oh, no.
You didn't go to work at GameStop? I thought that's why you went to Boston. You're like, there's a GameStop in Quincy that's awesome.
It's rad.
Like, there's one in San Rafael. You'd be cool. Stay here.
Nope.
That's too bad.
Boston GameStop for life.
We're down to like 15 minutes. Yeah. Do you want to?
Oh yeah.
Do we have reader mail?
Yeah. We'll do some reader mail, which means you will mail it from your mouths to our ears from there.
But first,
before that, Chris has got to go adjust his microphone again.
That's all it is.
You know, I never really realized that your microphone adjustment station was going to be 100 yards from the table.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just patter. Just fill it up. Mm. But, thanks for guys. Thank you guys for coming, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks.
I have no idea if you guys wanted to just hear us actually just talk about random video games and not
involve
you in any way.
I spent five grand to pay these guys to get here, I guess.
What?
I just gave everybody like a little 20 spot, so this cost me shitload.
That's,
yeah,
that's cool.
Just so you wouldn't cry, Jake. You might still cry.
I might cry.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, that's actually part of the song.
Yeah. Yeah. Attention. Attention.
Amazing.
That's your best song ever, Chris.
Yeah.
Wow. It was really hard.
How did you do that on your guitar?
I'm on airplane. Everybody on airplane.
It's not me.
I'm on airplane.
No, it's not. I'm airplaned.
I'm airplaned also.
You're on airplane. You're good over here.
Yeah, yeah.
You ready?
Maybe your guitar is trying to make a fucking call.
That was taking the place of the sirens. Yeah. As per usual, to interrupt us.
Yeah.
The playing a song police are on the way.
Crossing paths with this rebellious foe.
Good wizardry. I feel so proud of you right now, Chris.
Take some reader mail. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
questions.
Do that.
Line up at the mic
line
for
up
reader
at
mail.
A microphone to speak.
If you want to send a question to idlethumbs.net right
speak
now through
mail.
Your mouth.
Yeah. Fuck wizard on begins. Yeah.
It's not that good.
His phone is
it's fine. It's totally fine.
Chris may cut you off if you get to more than two sentences.
Yeah.
Do we say, have stuff?
Oh, yeah, we have stuff.
You guys have stuff to give them, right?
Yeah, when you get over the questions, come over here, and we'll
give up with we'll sell promotional shit from our game. Yeah.
We have a pile of posters, so that's your prize.
Yeah.
Okay. Friend.
Go ahead, sir.
So, because many of you have gone from journalism into development, do you think that your experience with gaming canon has given you an edge in development, and are you worried about losing that now that you have less time to play games?
A weekend, are you worried about losing your edge, Chris?
Well, I'm the...
Not your subscription to Edge.
It makes more sense. I feel like I shouldn't answer this first because it's so new to me compared to other people.
Yeah, Chris, I was never in journalism, so...
Yeah, but Nick was.
I'm new to this as well, but...
Yeah, you've been like a year now, right?
Well, I mean, I guess I can speak
to
like...
How long has it been?
Well, I mean, it is weird not being in journalism and missing a lot of things that happen in the industry and having to catch up and play games, like actively having to actively play games just to sort of feel like you still kind of know what's going on.
You don't need to do that.
The Rajkin School of
Jake can confirm this through experience.
Well, I know that. I mean, I can say that doing Idle Thumbs actually put, like, I felt a lot of pressure to play more games than I otherwise would, because otherwise there wouldn't be anything to talk about. And I'd go out of my way. I mean, I'd feel really nervous if we were coming up on a recording day and I hadn't played enough games. I would be like, oh my God, what the fuck am I going to say on a video game podcast?
Like a video pod.
That's part of why I would end up finding like weird little goofy ass things.
I was just going to say that. That's why Snoopy's
flying.
Oh yeah, that's why you played Snoopy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh shit, we're recording a podcast, and it's like the second thing on the dashboard, so just download it and play it, and it was fun.
Yeah.
So, what's your name, bud? Sorry.
Oh, I'm Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
I don't know. I mean,
it's almost like a game club, just having to like...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, except we all play different things and then get confused with each other. Yeah.
We're like old women who read the same book and talk about
it. No, we don't play the same. It's like old women who play a bunch of different books and then are just like, and then a grenade rolled down a hill. Yeah.
Except all the old women play Far Cry 2.
That's true. I guess we do all play the same game.
Yeah.
It just never changes. It's always that game.
I heard it did
change. It has changed, actually.
No, we all said that.
Okay.
Good question. Thank you. Next reader mail.
Yeah, no, we will go. We'll go 25 minutes. We get to this whole line, so we should go a little faster than we normally do, which is half an hour of an email. Yeah, come over here, Matt.
Well,
come
How about afterwards, if you ask a question, we can do posters just so we...
Oh, yeah, that's probably for the best.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry,
we'll see you right after.
Go home.
We'll see you right after.
We'll get you in a second.
Okay, cool.
We'll remember you. No, whatever.
Do not approach.
We'll get you some stuff.
We don't know what we're doing.
Okay.
We're terrible.
Maybe you can all go stand by the PowerPoint screen so it's really awkward.
Sit down and then we'll give you guys stuff from our games, which is not going to be cool, by the way.
We won't give you a poster unless you play a song on that guitar. Hi there.
Hey.
All right, I'm going to make my question quick then. I bought Far Cry 2 because of you guys. And I
oh, God.
And sorry. Unfortunately, I didn't really like it.
Yeah. Get the fuck out.
They will mob you.
Raise your hand if you didn't like Far Cry 2.
I think a quote from Clint Hogging, creative director on Far Cry 2, might be the best response.
Oh my God!
Would also be really mean.
Yeah, I know. What are you doing here, Chris?
Hey,
what are you?
He came up and he's complaining that he wasted money because of
us. So wait, no, keep your finish your question.
I was just wondering.
Oh no!
What did you guys? What was the greatest appeal about that game? Did I play it wrong or something?
how long did you play it?
Are you familiar with the phrase "a grenade rolled down
from the finish"?
You beat the game.
Ending and all that.
Damn!
You beat the game.
Wow!
Yeah, I actually beat the game. I actually went the extra mile and.
That's impressive.
Did you do any of the assassin missions?
I think I did.
Yeah. Did you hear Phaedra?
Okay, so that's the problem. That's totally the problem. If you play that linearly, if you play that game through the linearly, you're not like my thing says I'm still at 14%. I've played for 15 hours.
Are you actually going to say that the problem is he's playing it wrong?
No, I'm gonna do the Tim Schafer, but that's why I enjoyed it. I'm not saying he's playing it wrong, but I'm saying I enjoyed it.
Let me ask you this: what platform did you play it on?
PC.
Okay. Well, you did everything right. I don't know, man.
wait. So how long did it take you to beat it? I like how we're going through this process.
Countless hours. I don't think I have an exact
like 40 hours.
So probably. It's a long game.
What? Yeah, you spent 40 hours on a thing that you hate just because of my.
It was on and off, and it was like there were times where I'd stop playing and then I'd come back to playing.
Were you using WASD or arrow keys?
Who the hell uses arrow keys in 2010, man? Not WASD.
What could be wrong?
Do you have an ATI or a GE form?
I don't think it's relevant here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, on some level, it kind of does depend on how you play, I think, and also what your expectations are going in. It's not a game for everyone. I guess it's just a game for everyone that was on Idle Thumbs. I mean, you can't tell somebody they should like something they didn't like when
start a rival podcast where you hate.
That
would be hilarious.
You're going to get a poster out of it.
Sweet.
Thanks. Sorry.
Okay. So I have a serious question and a bonus question that we might not get to. So I was wondering, do you feel that there are any blurring of the lines between the gaming industry and the gaming press, considering all the people that have jumped the line?
I think that one of the unusual things about the games industry compared to other creative industries and certainly other non-creative industries is that it seems to me like the type of person who makes games and plays games and writes about games is, you know, those people are much more similar, you know, than just like movie directors and just people who watch movies. Like, that's a huge, you know, there's a huge audience of people who go just watch a movie. And I think within games, all that stuff ends up focusing on a more particular type of person. Like, even to enjoy going in and spending all these hours doing this weird type of entertainment, you know, I think appeals to a particular kind of person, and that's the person who, you know, if they're super duper into it and if they develop certain other skills, then they go be a game developer. But, you know, I think that there is a somewhat smaller, like, band there. So I don't know if there's a blurring of the line in terms of actual, like, responsibilities or anything like that, but I do think in terms of just personality.
I guess I wonder what was the kind of blurring that you're picturing when you ask about it?
I'm thinking of Sean Elliott's podcast. It's sort of like gaming media, but it's coming from inside the company.
Yeah. Well, no, and I think that's a good point, is that, like, studios and publishers, I think they draw on people who've done a really good job outside of the industry, like Chris and Nick, you know, because they know that they can... You know, they want to bring that kind of you know, relationship they have with their fans to their studio, and I think it really does help, like, build an identity.
And then they're not allowed to say the game sucks anymore.
Yeah, they have to say it's at least neutral to good, so that's a plus. It's cool, I think. Yeah. You know.
Okay. And then
do you mind if we stop you at one question, because we only have like 4 minutes?
We're down to 4 minutes.
Oh, circle up with us, and we will answer questions after.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We can also do that. That's
but
fine.
Not in here, because they'll throw us out of here.
Yeah.
I have a question about video games.
Oh, man. Good. If we talk about those on a...
Guild Wars 2. What do you guys think about it?
I thought that truck driving around outside looked pretty sweet.
It's a nice truck.
That, no sarcasm no,
like,
on that.
Sean actually was like, truck. That truck sold me on Guild Wars 2.
It did. And then I told you, and you're like, oh, yeah, we should play that game.
Sweet. So,
see you in Guild Wars.
Yeah, no, okay. I never played Guild Wars, but... I'm actually planning on trying out Guild Wars 2.
So we approve of the truck. There's your answer.
Yeah.
It's a good truck.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, I was going to ask... Hi.
Hey, dude.
Hi, what's up?
What's up, man?
We only have like a second here.
Don't do that.
Stop saying hi and get to this...
Hey.
Hey. Hello. What's your favorite Idle Thumbs memory? Just, I know we're kind of short on time, but...
Sure.
What's your favorite memory from Idle Thumbs now that it's coming to an end, possibly?
Oh, wow, Jesus.
Oh, man.
Holy fuck.
Oh, shit. God, my favorite memory was when Nick left the podcast.
I was going to say, my favorite memory is that time that Nick threw a glass of water at me.
I should have thrown it at Steve.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, PAX last year was pretty good. Also, episode 50, which you weren't on and Sean wasn't on, that was the best one, actually.
Yeah.
No, that one was really fun because people sent us a bunch of really gross Boost candy bars from the UK.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
As well as a bunch of party horns and balloons. So we ate all this really gross, really sweet chocolate and then inflated balloons for 10 minutes.
Yeah. And attached them to kazoos.
And attached them to the party horns. So it'd go... And sort of fall to the ground and die, but I was so it was the most gross sugar rush hyperventilated. It was gross. Yeah. It was the best episode.
My actual favorite moment might have been post GDC, like a couple episodes after GDC, when the concept of Phaedrus and his brother and mother Phaedrus.
The family.
I think Phaedrus showed up in the GDC episode.
Well, but it was one further than that. It was like family Phaedrus was kind of my favorite thing.
Of course,
this is Phaedrus. Phaedrus. Yeah.
Yes. So there's my answer. I love memes.
Yeah. I mean, I would
fall. You hate all of them,
that
actually.
That stuff, you know, ever you hear is just kind of like not talking about games, but talking about, I mean, that stuff, yeah. That's the stuff that's the funniest. And luckily we still do that when we're just hanging out, but.
But you guys.
All that into one giant, like, fever dream memory, probably, yeah. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Chris doesn't have a favorite memory.
No.
Chris, whatever.
Yeah. I had a question for Nick.
Oh, my God.
Can you put some werewolves in Oblivion? And if not, Chris,
security.
Can you put some...
Security.
Can you put some werewolves in BioShock?
Is he wearing the same jumper?
If you've played the new DLC for... You haven't played it, because you would know there's werewolves in it. So it's you just outed yourself.
There are werewolves, I
believe. No, it's not. Of course there's not werewolves.
Shit. Because I was going to recommend them that they play that now, and now I can't.
I understand.
All right.
You can't go against your principles.
I think this is probably the last one of them.
The last few.
It's not actually a question. I was hoping I could put something in front of you to sign.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it after, though.
Okay, that gives us time for another question.
You can put something in front of us after this.
Okay.
Yeah, and Nick will throw water on it.
So, Zero.
Oh, badass.
Oh, shit. Hold it up.
Hold up the best thing.
I'm sorry. God bless you.
Hold on one second.
This guy made this incredible Idle Thumbs 51 poster. Look at this puffin'
awesome
thing.
All right.
That looks great. Yeah, I'll sign that.
Let's sneak in the last question and video games.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, is there a new countdown to Tears date you guys have planned for? Any Far Cry 2 stories you'd like to share before you go?
Sean
Vanneman has a Far Cry 2 story.
Yes. Sean will close out the history of Idle Thumbs with a fucking story about Far Cry 2.
It's such a fucking downer.
I can't wait.
Do it.
We'll just say like puffins afterwards and it'll be hilarious.
Okay, cool. So I'll do it. I'll try to do it fast, but even though it's a really slow, drawn out thing, like I usually play Far Cry 2. Oh my God, it sounds like AA. It's been 4 days since I played Far Cry 2, but I usually play it in the mornings on the weekends because it's like time
by myself.
Nobody's really bothering me. It's exactly by myself. So I'm usually there. I got some cereal. I'm in my jams. And I sit down. I'm kind of had some funny dreams. I'm in a weird mood. And I haven't played in like a month and a half. And I start off in one of the sheds. And the female character, your buddy's in there. Does anybody know her name? I can't remember.
But
we'll call Michelle. We'll call her Michelle. That's a good name. So Michelle's there. And she's like, hey, been long. She doesn't say been a long time. But I'm projecting that because it's been a long time since I've played. She's like, hey, how's it going? Like, oh, want some help today? And I just like, fuck you. I turn around and walk out. And she goes, okay, whatever, like Lone Ranger. Go do your own thing. So I go do my own thing for like an hour and a half, but I feel guilty. Like, I don't know. I'm Irish Catholic, so that might have something to do with it. I'm like, I shouldn't have fronted on Michelle so bad. I hope we're friends. Like she's really kind of sweet, and you know, she's kind of cute. I'm like, maybe something's going to happen with that if I, like, you know, whatever. So this is a long time, and I'm driving around doing things, and like I'm not playing the game the way our friend played the game. I just go and do assassin missions, and
you
then...
You played the Idle Thumbs method of Far Cry 2.
I literally have played 15 hours, and I'm at 14%, so I play it a different way. And I'm driving around, and then out of the blue, and if you've played this game, this happens. Like, you're driving, and then all of a sudden, just like, you just... and a car crashes into you and some asshole jumps out of a gremlin with a handgun and starts shooting you, and then another car shows up and my health is really low, so I'm just like, I'm just gonna run away. So I run away and I end up running through a village and three trucks start chasing me and I have no health left, and I drive and I drive and I drive and I drive and I go off a rock and I land in a tree and I get hit and they're shooting me and I die at the wheel. And I'm like, fuck. And I hadn't saved in like an hour and a half, and I'm playing on PS3, so there's no saving unless you go to a house. And Michelle comes and drags me out of this burning wreck. They're shooting us. The car's on fire. Now
so
the
you're
ground's
not dead.
On
you're
fire.
Almost dead. You're like,
no, I died.
Unconscious,
and, yeah, but
you're
you wake
still
up.
Alive.
And you're like, you know, and you do that whole wake up thing. And she's dragging me away. And she runs back into the fire to start shooting this guy. And I switch to my weapon.
Oh, God.
But I threw a grenade. And it literally rolled down the fucking hill. I swear to God. And it explodes in the God damn, I'm getting emotional. And the field goes on fire and all the guys die. But she's in the fire and she's like, no, no, no. And I see her look at me and die. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I can bring her back. I've played this game. I just go over there and I do some, and I go over there. And it doesn't bring me up the menu to bring her back. She's dead. But I'm hammering the buttons. I'm like, Liv, damn you! Liv! I'm so sorry I left you in the hut! And I walked away from the... And like, I sat there, and I put the controller down, and I stood there in the field. It's now scorched. I have a photograph of it. I'll post it on the internet. And I'm sitting there in my underpants, and I got the cereal bowl. It's empty. And I was like, oh, fuck this game. And I walked away. That was it.
The end.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, video games.
Thanks, guys.
So that's
I think we're okay.
So we have a pile of posters. Come up and see us. And,
and thanks, Pat. Thanks again. Do this.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you so much. You guys are the best. Thank you.
You can exit out the side door, too. You don't have to go out the back. You can exit out the side. Not that side, the other side. Yeah.
Regular times.
What?
A Vine Hub.
It's.
Yeah, that works.
We've brought him for
the... It's. The Wizard.
It's.
Right?
Where are it's we? November 15th, 2014.
And this is Idle.
No, that's wrong. It's at...
Shit.
What's the date?
It's September 5th, 2010.
And Richard Garriott.
I hear that Richard is in the building.
He's working.
Did you say
it's Snells?
Hey.
Security! Security!
Good to see you, man.
You somehow Brent breaks a plastic bottle and sticks it in your neck.
So, I'm actually supposed to be sitting down there, probably. Because my sign is over there.
So you can, I mean...
And I'm supposed to be here.
Well, I mean, if we you guys go. Actually... You guys should move down, because then Steve and I can just attend ourselves to the end without being all...
Excuse me.
But then you guys were... It was you and me other, so that you guys were just intermingled.
Okay.
I'm going to hang out over here.
That's cool.
And Nick,
Nick, just you were in the right spot.
No, here?
Yeah, and let's make Chris Steve at the end. We can mix it up. It'll be good.
In the middle?
Yeah. Nick, you're in the middle. You're the best. And this way I get to hide all the way over here.
Fine, hot,
yeah. Yeah, what is this? This is unfair.
Am I actually audible through the microphone?
I think Chris is...
Oh, no, there we go. Sorry.
In your face. I just don't know. I can't...
No, because
then it starts going...
It depends. There's like a wall. Yeah. Like, right... We have 2 minutes.
Video games.
Like 15 or 20?
Space assholes.